It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. A jug of wine, a loaf of bread, and thou singing beside me in the wilderness. While we may not be venturing into the wilderness, our intrepid travel contributor Elaine the Bomb is taking us to places where a jug of wine, a loaf of bread, and possibly some cheese are the order of the day. While there's never a bad time to visit a winery, harvest time is especially appealing. And here with tips on wineries you should visit is travel contributor Elaine LaBombe, contributing editor for the e-zine Pop City. She also tweets about food and travel under the Twitter handle New Girl in Town. Elaine, let me say that there's no one we would rather have singing beside us in the wilderness than you. Welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
You flatter me, Paul, but thank you.
Okay, New Girl, wine tours in the fall. What do we have to look forward to along with the juice of the grape?
Well, a number of things. There's that nip in the air. These are the fall colors, which you're going to see not only on the East Coast, but also on the West Coast. Winery tours. And oftentimes, what you get with these tours is not just the tastings, which obviously people enjoy, but you get a much better understanding of the winemaking process. You know, winemakers, it's very competitive business. They're not hesitant to actually, you know, be in the winery, in the tasting room, so that they can meet and interact with the public and give them a better understanding of what they're doing, what kind of grapes they're growing, what types of wines they will produce, and what their strengths are. So it's a really neat time to visit different regions, and you can see the variation among the regions, you know, whether it's close to home or a little farther away, and walk away with a better understanding of the wine that you're drinking.
Starting close to home, there is something of a wine route that you like between Lancaster and the Lehigh Valley right here in Pennsylvania.
Yes, and you know, I've spoken to people about this often, and that there are some very good wineries in Pennsylvania. There are many wineries. Quality is variable, of course. You don't often see Pennsylvania wines on restaurant menus, whether it's in Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, or anywhere in between, and that's kind of a shame because there are some good ones. And here are three of my favorites. Excuse me, the Pinnacle Ridge Winery in Cutstown, which is in the Lancaster County area. It's helmed by a chemist, Brad Knapp. He has this old hillside barn where he makes his wines. He's known for his Chardonnay and his Pinots. And all three of the wines I'm going to talk about in Pennsylvania you can find actually at a terrific restaurant we've talked about in the past called John J. Jeffries in Lancaster City. And they are big proponents of Pennsylvania wines in addition to some excellent farm-to-table cooking that they're doing. But I love Pinnacle Ridge. Galen Glen Winery in the Lehigh Valley, also owned by a chemist, in this case, Sarah Troxell and her husband Galen, who's an engineer. They grow their grapes and make their wines on a sixth generation farm. They are known for their dry whites, a Gruner Veltliner, which is a grape that grows well in Pennsylvania, as well as a nice dry Riesling that they have. Lastly, I love Waltz Vineyards in Lancaster County. Jan and Kim Waltz are the owners there. They're known for some very bold reds. They have a nice Cab Merlot blend, and many consider them the preeminent grape growers in the region. So that's, if you're going to do a little tour of Pennsylvania wineries, they should be at the top of your list.
Equidistant from Pittsburgh are a couple of wine regions in Northern Virginia.
Yes, and the one that is, and you're talking here, the Shenandoah Valley, as well as the Loudoun County area, which is actually just an hour west of Washington, D.C., so it makes for a nice add-on when you visit our nation's capital. It's known as D.C.'s wine country. I'm not sure if that's going to help or hurt wine sales, but that's what it's referred to. A couple of vineyards that I really enjoy there, Bluemont Vineyard. This is owned by a former technologist, Bob Rupi, and he has this fantastic building, new structure that he's built with this large deck where you can sit outside, do the tastings, and just look over this rolling hills valley. Just absolutely gorgeous. I've spent a couple of afternoons there and loved it. He is known for his Viognier and his Merlot. That's what you want to check out there. The Sunset Hills Vineyard, just down the road, actually owned by a couple, Diane and Mike Camney. They owned a technology company, which they sold, and they then decided to plow some of those proceeds into what was a hobby run amok. In other words, growing grapes and making wine. And they have this this gorgeous 1870s vintage Amish barn, which comprises a very large tasting room, known for their Viognier also, Chardonnays, and Cabernet Franc, but in this region, there's probably a good, you know, 8 to 10 wineries that are very respectable and just make for a, you know, a great weekend getaway.
We're talking with our travel contributor, Elaine LaBalme, about traveling through wine country. And there are plenty of places to do that throughout this country. And Santa Barbara's wine country was made quirky in the movie Sideways. I always love it when we can work in a Sideways reference. You've seen that movie.
Oh, yeah. It's an original.
Wow. Very funny. Very, very funny film. Since this is your former stomping grounds, tell us what it's really like.
Stomping grounds, pardon the pun.
That's good.
That made me think of that I Love Lucy episode with the grapes and the stomping. Let's work in that reference too.
Right, sure.
Santa Barbara County, just beautiful area. You know, lush country. The wine region extends around Santa Barbara, also San Luis Obispo. This is very sort of old California region. You've got the old missions, the dry heat. It's just a lovely place to be. And you know, as it gets colder out here on the East Coast, believe me, a trip to this area right around this time of year would be lovely.
California dreaming.
There you go. And let's do it. But a winery that's worth a visit there. It's a pretty large production at this point, but they just have great wines and they do a nice job in how they, you know, treat the public and their tastings and whatnot. And that's the Fess Parker Winery in Los Olivos.
Fess Parker of Daniel Boone
Really? Davy Crockett fame. He started this winery decades ago and his heirs now continue on. But yes, you know, after he got out of the TV business, he got into the wine business. And these are some excellent wines, especially the Chardonnays, really known for their whites. They're lovely. So you want to visit there. And the other thing that you really need to do if you're in this region is visit the old Mission Santa Barbara. This is considered the queen of the California missions. This gorgeous pink stone building in a Spanish Moorish style, a couple of, you know, tall bell towers at the top. You can't, go to Santa Barbara and not get the feel of it unless you visit this mission and try to visit some of the other smaller missions in the central California area. Combine that with your wine tasting.
Would you like a glass of for your cough there? Might help.
I think I could use a glass of wine right now for that, huh?
Well, you know, in Northern California, you've got Napa and Sonoma, the most idealized wine regions in the U.S. What are your favorite vineyards?
Well, you know, I lived in Northern California for a little over 20 years, and boy, I have a lot of favorite vineyards, but I'll try to shorten the list a little bit. At the top of my list has to be Turnbull Cellars in the Napa Valley. They are known for their reds, especially their Cabernets. I mean, it's a small tasting room, but just everything you taste, you just wind up saying to yourself, I need to take a bottle of that, a bottle of that, a bottle of that, and you walk out with your arms full. You just do.
Why not?
There you go. Jordan Vineyards in Sonoma County. The Jordan Chardonnays are very well known the world over. This is a beautiful setting. The buildings, they do a fantastic tour. I think it's like a two-hour-long tour. It's been a number of years since I took it, but you definitely want to visit them in Sonoma. A couple of smaller vineyards that I like, Iron Horse in Sonoma for their Chardonnay and Pinot, and lastly, Swanson Vineyards. And the Swansons we're talking about are the fish sticks people here. So you're thinking, wait, fish sticks wine? I don't know. But let me tell you, not only do they make some great wines on their property in the Napa Valley, grow some wonderful grapes, they also make a blush wine that is so good. And you know, this is not jug wine stuff. This is the real deal. You want to check out their wines, especially the blush. Get yourself some lunch in St. Helena, stay at a B&B in Yountville. You may never return.
Oregon's Willamette Valley has been flying under the radar for years, but no more. In addition to the wines, you've got a favorite side trip from here.
Yes, and this is a region not too far from Portland, so northwestern Oregon. A lot of the wineries are along Highway 99, the old Highway 99. And the main one that you'd want to see there is Domaine Druhin. Now, that's a French name. I may be butchering it a little bit. Druhin, the Druhin family from Burgundy, moved to the Willamette Valley in the late 80s, and they helped establish this region. It's known for its Pinots and Chardonnays. And while I have not been there, it's probably because every time I go to this area, I visit an 80-acre farm called Four Winds Farm that grows fantastic grapes. And these are some of our oldest, dearest friends, John and Julie Steinhardt. They're not open to the public, but it speaks to the caliber of the region that a lot of people want to get into growing grapes in this region. The soil is very well suited. It's a real good place to be, and a nice side trip from there is to get to the Oregon coast, any of the coastal towns along Highway 101, whether it's Coos Bay, Cannon Beach, Astoria, lots of quaint little towns. Loaded with B&Bs. Just make your own sideways experience. There you go.
And we have just a little bit of time left.
Yes.
But, there's this idea, the French, anything that's not French when it comes to wine, forget it. In the United States, the Californians tend to be kind of snobby. So when you talk about some of the wineries and vineyards around here, is there now maybe more respect for growing grapes in non-traditional wine regions?
I think so. And I think that...
Not just growing grapes, but making
wine. Sure, and making wines. I think this has largely been helped by the farm-to-table movement and this movement of trying to grow and consume things close to home. And face it, there is a very good growing area in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Virginia. You can make good wines, and having them close to home, all the better.
All the better to have you with us to talk about it. Elaine LaBalm, our travel contributor, thanks so much for being with us again here on Essential Pittsburgh.
You betcha.
Tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh, local filmmakers and journalists share their stories of covering international female heads of state and the realities of war. That is tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. And we welcome your comments and story ideas at ESSPGH at WESA.FM. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. This is 90.5 WESA, Pittsburgh's NPR news station.